Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Why the West Rules for Now by historian and archaeologist Ian Morris examines the long arc of global power and asks why Western societies came to dominate the modern world and whether that dominance is likely to continue. Rather than focusing on single events, national character, or purely economic explanations, Morris frames the story through deep history, comparing East and West across thousands of years. He argues that geography, energy capture, and social development patterns help explain why different regions surged ahead at different times, from early agriculture to industrialization. The book blends big-picture synthesis with evidence drawn from archaeology, history, and social science to challenge simple narratives about Western exceptionalism. It also looks forward, using historical patterns to discuss how rising Asian powers, technological change, and global risks may reshape leadership in the centuries ahead. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a long view of power. Comparing East and West across millennia, Morris builds his argument by treating East and West not as fixed civilizations, but as broad, shifting networks anchored in Eurasia. He traces how different regions alternated in leadership over time, with periods when parts of Asia were ahead in state capacity, technology, urban development, and economic sophistication, and periods when Europe and later North America surged forward. The value of this framing is that it discourages single-cause explanations and instead highlights recurring dynamics where people could produce food efficiently, concentrate populations, coordinate large groups, and turn innovation into sustained advantage. Morris emphasizes that leadership changed as constraints changed, such as when new crops, new trade routes, new military technologies, or new forms of organization altered what was possible. By placing familiar episodes like classical Greece, imperial Rome, Tang and Song China, and early modern Europe into one comparative timeline, the book invites readers to see global history as an uneven race shaped by context rather than destiny. The result is an account that aims to explain dominance without relying on cultural superiority claims. Secondly, social development as a measurable framework for historical change, a distinctive feature of the book, is its attempt to operationalize large historical trends through a social development index. Morris discusses how a society's ability to get things done can be approximated using indicators such as energy capture per person, organization and governance capacity, information technology, and war-making ability. Whether or not a reader agrees with every metric choice, the approach is meant to discipline grand narratives by tying claims to measurable proxies. It also allows Morris to compare distant eras and regions using a common language, showing how gains in energy and information can translate into larger cities, more complex institutions, and expanding influence. This framework supports one of the book's central claims, that long-run development has broad regularities even when local histories differ. It also creates a way to talk about turning points, such as when industrial energy sources transformed economic and military power, or when breakthroughs in communication compressed distances and accelerated coordination. The index is not presented as perfect, but as a tool to think more rigorously about why some societies pull ahead and how quickly others can catch up. Thirdly, geography, ecology, and the accidental advantages of starting points, Morris argues that geography and ecology strongly shaped the early possibilities available to different regions, influencing where agriculture began, how dense populations could become, and how easily innovations could spread. He builds on the idea that certain parts of Eurasia had domesticatable plants and animals, favorable climates, and connected landmasses that encouraged exchange, competition, and cumulative development. Over time, these factors affected where large, resilient states could form, and how often regions experienced disruptive shocks such as droughts, epidemics, or invasions. In this view, Western dominance is not proof of inherent superiority, but an outcome of shifting geographic constraints and opportunities. When Europe was fragmented, competition could speed experimentation. When oceanic routes became central, Atlantic-facing states gained leverage. When fossil fuels and industrial production became decisive, regions positioned to exploit them surged. Morris also emphasizes that geography does not determine outcomes in a simplistic way. Instead, it sets boundaries and pressures within which human choices matter. The focus is on how environments made some solutions easier, some harder, and how societies that matched strategies to circumstances gained temporary advantages. Fourthly, the Great Divergence, how Europe moved ahead in the modern era. The book explores why, after long periods of Eastern strength, Western Europe accelerated dramatically from roughly the early modern period into the Industrial Age. Morris highlights interacting causes, rather than a single spark. Intensifying interstate competition, evolving financial and political institutions, expansion through maritime trade and empire, and the compounding effects of scientific and technological innovation. He also discusses the importance of energy transitions, particularly the move from land-based biomass limits to coal and later oil-driven industrial systems. This shift changed productivity, transportation, and military capacity, allowing Western states to project power at unprecedented scales. The narrative also acknowledges contingency, such as how disease environments affected colonial encounters, or how particular breakthroughs and organizational forms spread. A key takeaway is that divergence happened when older constraints were broken, especially constraints on energy and information. The West did not always lead, and it may not lead forever, but it benefited from a historical window in which the Atlantic world could mobilize resources, build global networks, and industrialize faster than rivals. Morris treats this as a pattern consistent with his broader model of development and constraint. Lastly, looking ahead, scenarios for the future and the risks of success, Morris extends his historical framework into a discussion of what the patterns might imply for the future, particularly the likelihood that Asian powers will continue closing gaps with the West. He suggests that when development is driven by shared technologies and global markets, catch-up can happen quickly, making dominance less permanent than many assume. At the same time, he stresses that the same forces that increase social development also increase systemic risk. Industrial and post-industrial societies concentrate people, energy, and interconnected infrastructure, which can magnify the impact of financial crises, pandemics, climate change, and great power conflict. The book therefore treats the future as a race between problem-solving capacity and the scale of the problems created by high development. Morris outlines possible paths, including continued convergence, renewed Western leadership through innovation, or disruptive breakdowns that reset the competitive landscape. His forward-looking argument is less a prediction than a warning grounded in long-term history. The question is not just who leads, but whether global civilization can manage the consequences of its own power. This makes the book relevant for readers interested in geopolitics, technology, and global risk. In conclusion, this book suits readers who like big history, geopolitics, and evidence-driven arguments about why societies rise and fall. It is especially useful for people tired of simplistic claims that the West triumphed because of unique virtues, or that history is just a sequence of random events. Morris offers a framework that links geography, energy, institutions, and innovation to long-run social development, giving readers a way to interpret both past turning points and current shifts like the rise of China and the rebalancing of global influence. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. The book sharpens how you think about constraints, trade-offs, and systemic risk in a highly interconnected world. Compared with many popular histories that focus on a single region or a narrow era, it stands out for its comparative scope and its attempt to measure claims rather than rely on anecdotes. If you want a challenging, panoramic explanation of power that connects ancient history to future scenarios, it is worth buying. If you would like to support Ian Morris, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.